Darren Dreger from TSN joins us. Dregs, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Excellent. Feeling better?
Yeah, getting there. But I'll tell you what, this is a nasty strain. I don't know if it's ripped through Alberta yet, but those of us who have unfortunately contracted it here out east have suffered. I'm into my second week. I sound better. I feel a lot better, but the lingering effects are still there, so we'll have to continue to deal with it.
Now, lots going on. First of all, you're up to 1 million followers. That's a big deal. I don't know if you got a champagne ball or anything for that, but maybe you could pull a Rashog and tweet out your phone number. That would be good.
That would be sensational. Or I could tweet out his phone number again.
You should just retweet it as a happy birthday gag. Oh,
exactly.
Man, I would love that. Let's start with Claude Julien. Like, the Boston Bruins are still in the playoffs, and everybody's talking about, wow, Claude Julien, like, they're 3 points behind Ottawa. Now, granted, Ottawa has 5 games in hand, but, like, do you think it would be wise to get rid of Claude Julien?
I don't, because he's a very good coach. He's got a winning track record, and he's the type of coach that'll get snapped up by another team, I would think, pretty swiftly. If not in season, then there's always changes during the offseason, and there'd be a carousel lineup, if you will, of teams with interest, including the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, what a way to launch into the National Hockey League than with a proven veteran head coach in Claude Julien. But I love how he's handling the situation. He's not happy about it. How can he be? I mean, you know, no coach likes to answer these questions on a day-by-day basis. You know, do you think you're going to get fired? Do you think that the players have tuned out and all of this stuff? And he's managed it accordingly, you know. Was it Saturday where he talked about, hey, I haven't quit on the players. I haven't quit on the city of Boston. I haven't quit on management or this organization. And that's the type of fighter that Claude Julien is. You know, they've got some pretty big holes in that lineup that, you know, Don Sweeney has tried to address. He hasn't been able to. He's got an aging veteran captain in Zdeno Chara. He's got a star goaltender now who is dealing with some issues himself. So there's a lot of things that are contributing to the woes of the Boston Bruins. But Jason, your point is well made. They're still a playoff team, and you know, they're not out of it by any stretch.
What is, you know, there's that team struggling a little bit, and I agree with you. Like, to me, their defense core is the biggest one, and the Dougie Hamilton trade is still, although Carlo's looking like a pretty good young player right now. Carolina, Florida, New Jersey, like every team in the East is, the last three, like Tampa Bay, they're all within 5 points. They're still not out of it yet, but what's going on in Tampa Bay? There really hasn't been much talk. I know they lost Stamkos, but they've been able to endure, you know, his injuries before and have success. Why are they struggling so mightily?
Yeah, they've got some defensive woes there too. And, you know, when you get beyond their top 2-3 defensemen and it starts with Victor Hedman, it drops off in a big way. There's a considerable gap there. And, you know, again, it's not through an effort or lack of effort or trying. Yzerman has tried to acquire a top four defenseman. He just hasn't been successful because those players are so seldom available in season. And, you know, during the off season, the prices can be incredibly high as well. So you back off and you hope that you can develop within, or you hope that something surfaces, you know, over the course of the year. And that hasn't happened. That hasn't manifested for Yzerman. And you take Stamkos out of the lineup for much of the season. Yet another blow for this club, and it's not just him. I mean, they had a considerable amount of injury in the first half of the regular season, but, you know, those are excuses. Every team has to deal with injury, and I'm sure that Yzerman would be the first, and so would John Cooper, who'd say, look, you know, we've got enough talent here that we should be able to overcome as other teams do. They've had a tough schedule, but again, every team has had to deal with a condensed NHL regular season schedule this year, so I think there's a lot of internalizing going on in Tampa Bay. I really do. I think that they're looking around and maybe recognizing that they've got good players, no question. In some cases, they've got great players, but, you know, maybe they need to do a little bit of tweaking in the future.
Well, I look at them and you look at their expansion draft list. Like, you know, right now they're going to go 7-3, and they'd still lose at least one good forward in that one. So I wonder if Steve Yzerman, you know, we all talk about Ben Bishop possibly being someone that they move before the deadline. He might have to trade one of his decent forwards for a defenseman.
He might. And look, those rumors are always kind of percolating, aren't they? You know, Jonathan Drouin, things have quieted down there now for the most part this year, and that's because of his play. But we know how volatile it was with that situation last year before things calmed down just before the playoffs. And, you know, the asking price in dealing specifically with Ottawa, as an example, I'm told included either Shabbat, Cody Ceci, Colin White's name from college was thrown into that mix for Jonathan Drouin, or at least part of that package. So Yzerman tries to drive a hard bargain. He might be getting a little bit of his own medicine in dealing now, but you're absolutely right. You know, because of the expansion alone and all the draft rules and everything that has to go into it, you know, he's going to lose a very good player or more. Well, I guess you can only lose one in expansion, but I'm sure he's thinking about what he can do to avoid that scenario.
Darren Dreger from TSN joins us. Darren, I think it's safe to say the Oilers are now legit. It's almost 50 games, and they're actually getting better as the season goes along. There's still some areas I think they'd like to improve. Do you think they'd look for a right winger or potentially another centerman at the deadline?
Well, look, I kicked around that storyline about a week, 10 days ago. And I think for the most part, they feel comfortable with where they're at center ice. But again, when I look at the Edmonton Oilers, that includes Kajula playing center ice. And I think most would agree that he's probably better set in the National Hockey League as a winger. But, you know, he's still a young player. And the fact that he's versatile enough to do both is a good thing for Todd and the coaching staff of the Oilers. So I think that, you know, Shirelli is what he is. He's always open for business. And, you know, he's willing to consider just about anything, but there's not a whole lot to be considered out there. Right? I mean, the Eberle rumors seem to swirl around this team endlessly, and I don't think that it's any different now, even though he's started to put the puck in the net of late. So I don't know that Edmonton has any one real pressing specific need, at least management doesn't necessarily see it, but that's not suggesting that they're not willing to look at things that would improve that club either.
What about the Calgary Flames? What do you think they're looking at doing?
Well, that's a good question. I think that Trey Loving and company are open to just about anything. You know, again, you know, the Dougie Hamilton trade scenarios and speculation is basically faded away. But usually when that speculation is running as rampant as it did, you know, a couple of months back, there's a bit more to it, regardless of what's coming out of that management group and what's coming out of that organization. I think that there's an appetite to do just about anything there, as long as it's not, you know, pecking away at their core young guys. And what organization is going to want to give up on good young players? So I think that the Hamilton rumors are going to persist, and, you know, maybe some other pieces defensively they might consider.
Dregs, we're getting into the All-Star break, and then trade deadline is on March 1st. So just basically five and a half weeks now until the NHL trade deadline. And the expansion rules, like, there's one thing about protecting the amount of forwards you have to protect in defensemen. And, you know, if you've, like, McDavid obviously is exempt, anybody who's 2 years a pro or lesser exempt. But what about is there any sort of rule on the type of players Vegas has to select? Like, I know there's a certain limit on age of players. Does that include games played experience as well? So even if a guy like Jujhar Khaara in Edmonton essentially is in his third year of pro and he's eligible, but does he fit the requirements for Vegas to select him?
No, that's a good question. And I'm thinking of Ryan Murphy as another example from the Carolina Hurricanes. And I believe that there is a specific number of games,
okay,
but maybe it's the number of games that you have to play in order for that team to be able to expose you to the expansion draft. I don't have the file in front of me, to be honest, Jason, but I think that there is a number attached, but that might only be in favor of the NHL club, you know, wanting to use that player as a potential player to be exposed for the draft.
Any other coaches outside of Claude Julien do you think are remotely in trouble right now?
Well, not necessarily in trouble, but I was on a St. Louis radio station earlier today, and the topic was raised, and I can understand why. I mean, you know, when you look at Ken Hitchcock and everything that's going on with the St. Louis Blues right now, you could appreciate why Doug Armstrong might consider handing, you know, the bench over to Mike Yeo, who's going to get the bench at the end of the season anyway. You know, it's not working in St. Louis right now. You know, their goaltending and Jake Allen isn't good enough.
Oh.
Defensively, they're not strong enough. Their penalty kill hasn't been very good, and they're not scoring. So there's a lot of good going on with the Blues right now. And this is a big year. This is a big year for Armstrong. It's a big year for the organization in general. I know that they felt like they were going to be a contending team, and they're not. I mean, they're a playoff-worthy team, but that can change if they continue to flounder. So I'm not reporting this as inside information because I don't have that information, but in answer to your question, is there another coach that could be in trouble? I don't know if it's fair to put Hitchcock in that group given the fact we know he's leaving St. Louis at the end of the year, but I wouldn't be surprised if Armstrong or the Blues decided that, you know, handing over the reins to Yo now made more sense.
Well, I think they might have to look at their goaltending situation. Like, they just re-signed. Yeah. Like, Jake Allen has his new contract that kicks in next year, and right now he's looking like a guy who can't handle being a starter.
Well, and that's a problem for him because they went all in on Jake Allen. And you're right. He signed that extension of 4 years in the summer at, what, $17.4 million? I mean, good luck moving that contract out based on the way he's played. So they're doing what they need to do, and they're giving him the support, the encouragement, and everything that they can to get him back on his game. And when you've got a resource like Martin Brodeur close by, I'm sure that, in fact, you know, reportedly he's talked to Jake Allen, and he's helping him counsel through this tough spot. I mean, that's the approach they have to take. You know, he's got to be a reclamation project, you know, not something that that is viewed as an area so concerning that they've got to move it out or bring somebody like a Marc-Andre Fleury in.
Well, it will be interesting if they do that and then you expose a Jake Allen and hope that Vegas takes him.
Yeah, maybe. And again, I guess it would depend on how much Kelly McCrimmon and the scouting staff and George McPhee of Las Vegas have watched him play. I just look at the goalie market now, though. And I don't know, has it ever been deeper in terms of goaltenders available? I'm not saying top-notch goalies. I'm not saying potential starters. But you include Ben Bishop. You include, obviously, Marc-Andre Fleury. You know, you look around the game and some of the others. You've got Pavlik, who's now playing in Winnipeg, but just called up from the Moose not long ago. Jaroslav Halak. I mean, go down the list. There's a lot of them.
Drake, I don't know if you had a chance to read Bob's article yet on TSN.ca about, you know, talking to the coaches and many of them not happy with the schedule, but a lot of them kind of sounding off on the officiating, A, from the offside rule that I think we can agree is terrible because, A, it only takes goals away, and, B, when they're blowing plays down that are not offside because they think they're offside, well, now that's hurting things as well. Do you think that the NHL could ever reverse that rule for the offside?
I don't think they'd reverse it, Jason, but I do think that they could tweak it. And I'd be real surprised if the general managers, you don't give that some real thought and consideration at the upcoming March general managers meetings in Florida. I think that there are little things that they could add to that offside rule and the review process that might be able to change it. But, you know, everything that's happening specific to that rule, hockey operations predicted was going to happen. And then that's Colin Campbell and that's Mike Murphy and to some degree Stephen Walken, the director of officiating. Because, you know, once you allow that review process to happen as open as it is with a coach's challenge, I mean, based on technology that every NHL club has, you know, it doesn't matter if you're 6 feet offside or you're 1/16th of a centimeter offside. If they can prove through video process that the play is offside, then it's a dead play. So I know that they've talked about other scenarios like a time, you know, if there's a change of possession. You know, the puck is in the zone, but it was in the zone for 30 seconds before the puck went in the net. You know, that nullifies any opportunity to challenge. Things like that I think absolutely would be considered.
Darren Dreger joins us from TSN. Dregs, also, of course, a spokesperson for Alzheimer Awareness Month that continues on here for a few more weeks. And something that's impacted your family very close is your stepfather, Irvin, has a dementia. He was diagnosed in May of 2016. And I've noticed a lot of your tweets really make me think. Just the one that was simple about trying to know when's the right time to come for a visit for people who have dementia or Alzheimer's, it makes leaving a little bit easier.
It really does, Jason. And it's the details like that that, you know, family members and caregivers are going to learn just simply through experience because, you know, change can be traumatic. And my stepfather has gone through it now in a couple of different ways. He was placed in long-term care early December in Melville, Saskatchewan, and he had to leave our hometown of Langenberg just simply to get back onto the transfer list to Langenberg. That's just the way the process works, and others have had to do it too. And the biggest concern from those who are close to him, from the Alzheimer's Society and the nursing staff in Langenberg, and what was the upheaval and the change and how difficult it is to get these patients settled again with dementia and Alzheimer's. And we really noticed that during his time in Melville, and likewise now that he's thankfully been transferred back into Langenberg. So there are little tricks that you can apply around mealtime and things like that that just seem to make the day go a little bit more easily for the patient.
For your stepfather, and really maybe even more so for your mom, because I think that's what the big part of Alzheimer's awareness is, when they talk about just how it impacts the loved ones who have to learn kind of how to deal with it. Suddenly your mom doesn't have him around, and that's got to be as much of a strain on her.
It is. But again, you know, in a small community, a farming community, we're thankful that, you know, she's got friends and family relatively close by. So she's got a real good support base there. And I can't say enough about the fine people that are providing his hour-by-hour care at the Langenberg Care Home. I mean, they have been tremendous, you know, just making him feel at home. If there's any issues or concerns, you know, they're quick to advise my mom on how to manage those things. And really, Jason, that's what it boils down to. And that's why I'm as strong an advocate for Dementia Friends and Alzheimer's Canada as I am, is that a little bit of information goes such a long way. And, you know, the access that my mom has, again, to an Alzheimer's counselor day-to-day who can, you know, point her in a direction if she's got specific health care questions or concerns that need to be addressed, you know, who can she reach out to? Well, those answers are available. And oftentimes they're available on, you know, the AlzheimersCanada.ca website or DementiaFriends.ca website. But thankfully, these people are always available, and they're a terrific support and resource for us.
Well, I think that's the big one, is for a lot of people now who just maybe have a loved one who got diagnosed recently with Alzheimer's dementia, is to reach out to those places, because it'll make you understand what your role is a lot easier.
Well, you can't change the diagnosis, right? You can't. And it's tough learning to live with it. But when you're surrounded by so many caring individuals and people who are there with the answers and want to help, and can at least give you a rough idea of what you can expect, it's not all doom and gloom. You know, we can paint a pretty dark picture, and perhaps one day it'll get to that point, but there's a lot of great things that happen along the path. So I think that again, caregivers and family members who are new to this, just reach out to the Alzheimer's societies around Canada or Dementia Friends, and they'll put you on the right path, because a little bit of information, frankly, for us has gone a long way, and we're learning day by day.
Dregs, thanks for this. As always, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Monday.
You bet. Thanks for the opportunity, Jason.
You betcha. Darren Dreger from TSN. You can learn more if you're interested, dementiafriends.ca, whether you have somebody who's recently been diagnosed, or maybe you're seeing some signs and you think, is this possibly what they have? They have all sorts of questions. There are answers to the questions that you have, and feel free to reach out to somebody. So dementiafriends.ca.